Ole Miss fans, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. And if you sign up today with promo code Talk of Champions, you can get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Trust me, I've played and pitched for them all, but Prize Picks stands above the rest. Honestly, I have no idea why I waited this long. Yes, I cover the Rebels, so I focused my picks on the MLB playoffs, including home run cash-ins on Mookie Betts and others. It's a blast, easy, and secure. Make your picks in less than 60 minutes with Prize Picks, and when they hit, you can get your money as quickly as 15 minutes. Even better, Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. Think Justin Jefferson will get more than 83.5 yards this week? Yeah, me too. Win real money this football season with Prize Picks. Download the app today and use promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's Prize Picks and promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. Prize Picks, run your game. Spark something uncommon this holiday season with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, folks, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling. They scour the globe as Uncommon Goods for original, handmade, absolutely remarkable things. Just a few of the favorite gifts I've found on Uncommon Goods include a do-it-yourself storybook kit for my niece. My daughter's got me the MLB Sunday Slugger Ceramic Ice Cream Bowl set. Love my Braves. From holiday host and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids to hits from everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans like us, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. It is the season of giving, after all. So get 15% off your next gift by going to uncommongoods.com/TOC for Talk of Champions. That's uncommongoods.com/TOC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Ole Miss Baseball's Judd Udemark welcomes you to Judd U, an Ole Miss podcast brought to you by the Ole Miss Spirit and Riverland Roofing.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Judd U. I'm here with Will Furness. This podcast is presented by Riverland Roofing and Ole Miss Spirit. Fern, how are we doing today, man?
Good. How are you?
Good. Here, a little introduction on Will Furness. You know, he's from Nacogdoches High School down in Texas. He's a junior this year, first baseman, has an absolute power stick, and it's a pleasure that he's on this podcast. Fern, talk a little bit about kind of growing up. How was it playing baseball? Did you only play baseball or other sports?
I was actually kind of a soccer fanatic whenever I was younger. I don't know, I was just more athletic than other kids, just because, you know, baseball players are athletes too. So I played a little bit of soccer, a little bit of basketball. I played football, but I was absolutely terrified of getting hit. So I would run away from the ball whenever it was like thrown. It was peewee football, but I was terrified. So that only lasted for about 2 years, and then I quit because I was terrible. I played baseball like most of my life. I played in Fort Worth, actually, with Ryan Rodriguez, which is one of our pitchers. I played peewee, it was called, it was modified coach pitch. So it was like, usually when people play T-ball, that's kind of where I started, was modified coach pitch, where my dad would get down on one knee and then throw it to all of our players. And then if you miss like three times, you get hit one off the tee, but it kind of got me, it's like a better version of T-ball, just to get you ready for coach pitch. Because, you know, some kids, you know, whenever they're hitting off the tee, they they go to coach pitch since the whole new game. But, you know, that kind of helped me a lot. But, I went from Fort Worth, played T-ball, or I guess T-ball modified coach pitch there with Ryan. Then moved to Nacogdoches, Texas, where my dad grew up in Nacogdoches and took over my granddad's practice as a doctor somewhat, and was there for the rest of my life. Grew up right like 5 minutes away from my granddad's farm. He built a giant baseball barn. I can probably get my dad to send some pictures of it. Maybe we can, like, put a link on the podcast or something for pictures, but pretty cool. Really, really lucky and fortunate to have that, because I could just, you know, ride my bike 3 minutes down the road and I'm at a giant indoor cage with air conditioning, whereas most kids, you know, have a cage in their backyard or a net. So I was really lucky in that aspect of being able to grow up in a baseball family, and my granddad really cared about baseball. So
yeah,
really lucky for that.
Well, for sure. So obviously, you know, you're an elite athlete now. You're here at Ole Miss, highly scouted throughout high school and travel ball. At what age did you really start to realize, hey, this could be my future? Because obviously, you know, your dad's an absolute SEC legend, college baseball legend, right? I'm sure everybody talks to you about that. Mm-hmm. But at what age did you really take that next step to say, hey, you know, I belong here as well?
I believe I was around, I don't know if it was like a step, but I believe I was around like 12 years old, and I was like, I knew like the whole stigma. And I think we went to, I think really when I realized I was like really wanted to do it was I don't remember what year it was. Maybe it was 2017. Mm-hmm. Florida played LSU in the College World Series championship. And me, my dad, my mom, and my little brother flew to Omaha, got a hotel room. And then, you know, he was the Tiger Athletic Foundation, like, you know, gave him tickets and, you know, pregame access and all that. And we were actually in the line, you know, when the players walk out of the hotel room.
It
was like the fans were just lined up. We were in that line, and Coach Manieri came up to my dad. And, I mean, I knew my dad was, like, you know, popular and was really good. But this is kind of when I realized, like, holy cow, this is, like, real. Coach Manieri came up to him and was like, hey, Eddie. And everybody was asking for his autograph or asking for Coach Manieri's autograph. Yeah. And Coach Manieri really wanted to get out of there. So he goes, hey, guys, you know, this is Eddie Furness, LSU baseball legend. So we sat in the hotel for another hour and a half and was signing autographs.
He tried to redirect it back to your dad.
He was signing autographs for the next hour and a half in the hotel, which was great. But that's kind of when I realized, I was like, man, that's real. And like, I kind of want to do something like that. I just thought, like, the whole aspect of how everybody cares so much about collegiate sports, you know, especially in the SEC, which is why, like, I wanted to go to the SEC so bad, is – you know, that type of atmosphere, that type of, you know, connection with the community, especially with a place like Ole Miss. You know, it's a small town. Everybody knows everybody. Kind of like my hometown. And, you know, that was really special to me. Ole Miss is really special to me because of that.
Yeah. Well, that's perfect transition. You know, I was going to ask you about kind of your recruiting coming in. Me and Will Furness are in the same class, so, you know, we grew up playing against each other.
With each other, too.
Yeah, with each other.
I recruited him to my travel team.
We would see, you know, each other's highlights all the time. But correct me if I'm wrong, but you were the first commit in the Ole Miss class or the second behind Cole Ketchum.
And then I think it was either right after you or right before you.
Yeah.
It was like me, then you, or well, you, then me.
Tell me a little bit about how that recruiting process went. Was there other schools involved? Was it a hard decision, easy decision? Talk to me a little bit about that.
So it really all started going into my freshman year of high school. I was hitting absolutely horrendous at the beginning of the summer. Like, I was hitting like .080. And couldn't understand it. I was whiffing at balls that, like, I felt like were going literally through my barrel. And I was like, what is wrong? So my dad was like, hey, I had this problem in high school. Maybe you need to get your eyes checked. Went and got my eyes checked. My eyes were off by 0.5. And for people that don't know what 0.5 means, that is the smallest amount. Like, it was the difference between 20/20 and 20/12 vision. And I'd been hitting with 20/12 vision my whole life. So 20/20 vision, for some reason, really messed me up. Even though 20/20 is great vision. But I got corrected back to 20/12 vision with 0.5 contacts in each eye. And then I ended up hitting like 700 at TCU. And it was like, it was crazy because I was like, there's no way contacts made that little of a difference. But that's when I started getting recruited, was at TCU. I hit really well. And the coaches were there, obviously. And I love Coach DeLara and Coach Sarlous, because Coach Sarlous was actually the recruiting coordinator at the time. And they were both talking to me. And they didn't offer me. Nobody really offered me my freshman year, I think, because people wanted to make sure, you know, I would pan out, because I was really slow at the time. I mean, I am still slow, but I was, like, really slow. Like, I was unreal slow at the time. And so they wanted to make sure I would, you know, pan out, get faster, get better. Then the next year, I went to all the camps again. I went to LSU, Arkansas, TCU, Texas Tech. Texas Tech didn't end up offering me, but LSU, all those places. And I got to Ole Miss, and Coach B pulled me. My first offer was TCU the following summer, and then it went. Then it was Arkansas, and then it was Ole Miss, and those were the three schools that I really, really wanted to go to, because I had like a list of like top five,
yeah,
like from like my freshman year before they even started recruiting me. Like, if you could go to any school in the country, where would you go? And it was Ole Miss 1, Arkansas 2, and then down the list, I don't even remember. But it was Ole Miss 1, Arkansas 2. That's the two I remember because those are the two places I really wanted to go. And TCU offered me. I was ecstatic about that. I honestly felt like I didn't deserve it. Like, it was crazy. You know, you don't really feel like you're that good until you know, like, people start, you know, helping you or offering you. Mm-hmm. So then I got TCU. Then I went to Arkansas the next weekend. Arkansas offered me. Then I went to Ole Miss the following weekend, and Ole Miss offered me. And Coach B, I'll never forget this. Coach B said, "You'll know before your head hits the pillow tonight where you want to go to school, whether it's here or somewhere else. It's just a gut feeling." And I remember I was like, "Yeah, you're right. I want to go to Ole Miss." Yeah. And my mom was like, because my mom, I decided so quick. My mom was freaking out. She was like, "Will, are you sure you don't want to take time?" Like, and my mom is very, very serious about this stuff. And she was like, "You sure you don't want to take time? Like, you just got done at Ole Miss. Like, you need to let it soak in a little bit." And I was like, "No, Mom." And she was like, "Will, let it take some time." And I was like, "No, Mom. I'm calling Coach B tomorrow. I'm committing." She's like, okay. My dad was like, "Good. Good." And my dad was just like, "Whatever, wherever you want to go, I don't care." And my mom was like, "Wait, don't do that." So, you know, I called Coach B, had a good phone call with him. And then the worst, what most people don't realize is the worst thing is calling coaches back after you commit to another school, calling like TCU and Arkansas and telling them like, "Hey, I'm going to Ole Miss." They don't like to hear that.
Yeah.
And it's not, they were very respectful. Mm-hmm. They didn't say anything bad to me, but you know, it's hard because, you know, you built a relationship with those guys and, you know, it's hard to tell them like, "Yo, I'm going with someone else."
Yeah,
it's like,
for sure.
It's like breaking up with your girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's
like, it has to be done, but
you don't want to do it.
It's that hard conversation that needs to take place for sure. So, you know, you committed, your sophomore year, mm-hmm. one of the first recruits in the 2022 class. Rolling into college as a freshman, the freshman summer. Obviously coming off a national championship year. Give me some of your favorite memories and some of your least favorite memories of freshman year.
Least favorite memories has to be the sled push we did at the very end of summer.
Mm-hmm, for
that
sure.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
That was bad. But I would say I had a lot of good memories that year. We had a really bad year baseball wise, mm-hmm. like the last 2 years, honestly. And but you know, there's still some good memories that come with that. Like I think probably my favorite, there's a lot. I would say my favorite memory would be opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably like everybody's favorite memory. But
yours was special in a certain way.
Both of ours was.
Yeah.
So the opening weekend, I didn't even know if I was going to play. Like, I didn't know. I was just there. I was happy. I was happy to be there. You know, it was cool. Coming off a national championship, they had the national championship ceremony before the first game. There's like 12,000 people in the stadium. It sounded like a bunch of ants talking whenever you were sitting in the dugout. It was unreal. And it was in the ninth inning or the eighth inning, bottom of the eighth inning. And I'm sitting on like the railing, like, because we're winning by a lot at this point. I think I was talking to you. And Coach B, like, comes up, goes, "Furnace, Furnace." And I didn't hear him. And he yells, "Furnace." I was like, "Oh." And I look over. He's like, "Get your helmet on. Get your batting gloves." And that moment, my heart was beating. Like, you know that cartoon where Goofy or something? And it's like the heart goes out of the chest and comes back in. Like, that was my heart. It was like, boom.
Oh, for
boom.
Sure.
And so I put on my gloves, put on my bat. And I think I was like this, going to the batter's box. And I don't even remember, like, I usually, like, am very, like, I know what I'm doing in the batter's mm-hmm. box. Like, I'm very focused on, like, what pitch I'm sitting, what my approach is, that AB.
Yeah.
And in that AB, I think I wanted to, like, close my eyes.
I was
so terrified. I was shivering, which I'm sure you may have been the same way, but I don't know because you're really good. So,
yeah.
I was, like, shivering. And then I remember it was a sidearm guy. First mm-hmm. collegiate AB was a sidearm guy throwing, like, 87. I was like, "God, come
of course.
On. Like, of course it has to be a sidearm guy." And he throws an inside slider, which I never really slug with sliders. Like, I mean, I do sometimes, you know, on accident. But,
yeah.
like, I've never really slugged with sliders. And he threw me an inside slider, and it just hung, and it didn't move.
Yeah.
And I smoked it down the line. So my first collegiate AB was a home run. The next day,
which is the first in Ole Miss history, by the way, if anybody knew that or wanted to know
and
that.
And then the next day, I started at DH, and then Judd came in for me in the bottom of the eighth. And what does he do? He's the second person in Ole Miss history to hit a first AB home run, and he hits it about 7,000 feet further than mine. So his exceeded mine just a little bit. I think the umpire had to, like, make sure it was fair because it went so far over the foul pole that it actually landed in Batesville foul. So, they had to, like, review it. It was, like, a 10-minute review, and Joe was in the did you get to do the boom?
I did the boom, I had to wait with my batting gloves and my bat
and you're
ready
sitting on the on-deck circle, yes. And you're waiting for him to call it foul. And yeah. I was like, dude, please call this fair. This would be awesome. This would be an awesome story.
Yeah.
And well, that was so cool.
You know, now we look at it, and, you know, me and Furness have always been super close, and that's why I bring him on for the first podcast episode. But there's a lot of things that, you know, we may look different, we may have different stances, but at the core of us, we're pretty much the same guy.
Yeah.
So a little bit about last year, you know, obviously coming off freshman year, kind of that, you know, rough patch, but you took a major step into this team your sophomore year, moving into the four hole, being a slugger that you always knew that you could. What was your approach last year going into the year?
Win more baseball games.
Yeah.
I didn't really care like as much about results. Obviously I wanted to hit home runs, produce runs for my team, but, I think, like, I thought last year, I don't know why, I felt like we were going to be a really good team, and I think we started off that way. We got in a rough patch, like, there in the middle. You know, we lost to Tennessee and then got swept by Kentucky, and it kind of sent us in another downward spiral. And I think that's where, like, this older team is going to come in this year and help us is, prevent that downward spiral. Like, it's not the end of the world if we lose a series. But last year we were really young. Mm-hmm. You know, I was one of the only returning, besides you, just me and you were the only returning starters from the year before, I think, that played in the lineup. Groff and Leje. Mm-hmm. Groff and Leje. But a very young lineup. Like, I don't want to say immature because I don't know if that's the right term, but I think it was coming into the year is just to win ball games. And then towards the end of the year, you know, rough ending. I honestly thought we had a chance to make a regional, like go deep in the SEC tournament. Rough ending, but I'm excited about like the guys that are coming back this year and the guys we got from the portal. We have a really old team this year, and old teams typically do well. I mean, if you look at the regional teams last year, like High Point, we actually played them at the beginning of the season. We lost to them. Everybody freaked out, but nobody realized they were actually pretty good. And then we ended up being like, 25-4 or something like that. It was unreal. But High Point, really old team, made it to regionals, and they beat Tennessee one game or came close to it?
I don't remember that.
But there's a bunch of like teams, like mid-major teams that were really good last year that were older teams. And then guys like the SEC teams that did really well were all older as well. You know, they had draft guys like Tennessee, the one that won in Natty. They had like Blake Burke. He was a junior. Christian Moore, he was a junior. Yeah. Forrest Tier is junior. Billy Amick. I don't know how old Billy Amick is, but it's all old teams that usually do really well. And for whatever reason that is, I don't know if it's experience or whatnot. It probably is experience because I remember the freshman, you know, scary's like, you know, you're a little nervous and everything. But I think sophomore year was good. I think this year's as a leadership standpoint, I think we have a lot of leaders on this team just because of how old we are, and it's going to help, you know, develop the younger guys. To keep this, I think we're going to win a lot this season. I think we're going to be really good this season. And I think that us helping the younger guys and kind of showing them how to take care of business and do what needs to be done, I think it's going to help Ole Miss baseball be good for a very long time again, just by the old leadership on this team.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Well, to my last point or my last question, you know, going into this year, right, the fall just wrapped up. We just finished the Pizza Bowl. My team won. Furness team lost, thankfully. And that pizza was real good.
It was. That running was really fun, too.
Finishing up the fall, you know, you get to evaluate everybody. You get to see how the team plays with each other. How does the team chemistry go? How does the pitching look? How does the hitting look? Give me some key takeaways team-wise, not so much personally, but you can jump into the personal side if you want to. Of what is going to take us to that next step this year in this spring?
The pitching, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. I think our pitching has been good at times and bad at times, just as like the hitting. Mm-hmm. But I think the most important thing to a really good team is a good pitching staff. Mm-hmm. And Joel has done, you know, a really, really good job with that. He's helped our pitching staff tremendously, and I think everybody could see it this fall. I mean, I think that's the least amount of runs we've ever scored as an offense in the inter squads, like ever. Yeah. And it's not because our offense is bad. It's just because our pitching has gotten that much better. And, like, we allowed, like, 3 earned runs in, what was it, 14 and 16 to 30 innings.
Yeah, against Sanford.
3 earned runs in 30 innings is, I mean, some would say that's really, really good.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, like I said, you know, it, like, 3 earned runs in 30 innings, I don't think I've ever seen that from the staff. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that was really, really good. Especially, you know, and even from the defensive side of things. Like, last year we were bad defensively, really bad. We had way too many errors in the field. And this year we've looked really, really good in the field. I don't know if that's just because we're getting older or if because I think it's a lot of it, the credit goes to Coach Cleary and how he's helped us with defense, you know, the fundamental stuff. But I think the biggest takeaways from this fall for me was that our pitching staff is going to be really good, which, you know, usually the Ole Miss teams that have a really good pitching staff host their own super regionals.
Yeah.
And then we have a lot of run producers on our team. And then we steal a lot of bases, which is really rare, actually, mm-hmm. for an Ole Miss team. We steal a lot of bases for an Ole Miss team, which is it's impressive, though, because a lot of those guys that steal bases also hit 20 home runs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have a double threat there. And, of course, you know, I'm not stealing 20 bases.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Judd's actually going for a 20-20-20 season, he said. It's 20 doubles, 20 home runs, and 20 stolen bases.
Yeah.
I might go for, like, a 20-21 season. And I'll be like, on first base, and he'll be on second base. He'll steal third, and I'll steal behind him.
That's right.
So it'll be, like, a 20 doubles, 20 home runs, and then 1 stolen base. Maybe it's the delay steal. You never know. But
be looking out for it.
Yeah, for real. And then, yeah. I think this team has a lot of the qualities to be a really, really good team. Pitching being one of the main qualities that I think I'm really excited for. I've never been this excited to, like, you know, not score runs in the fall.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, strike out. Like, I think I didn't strike out that many times this fall, but when I did strike out, I was like, well, there's not really much I can do mm-hmm. with those pitches.
If I'm striking out, then you know, these opponents that we're going to face, they're going to have real trouble.
They're not going to have fun. So I think, and everybody's excited, obviously, about Hunter coming back. I was hoping he'd come back, man. I think he's going to do really good, and he's going to get drafted in the first round.
Yep.
But, you know, he got picked in the 20th round. I was like, please, just stay and improve your draft stock because you know you can do it.
Yep.
So he stayed. And he's going to be doing – he looked really good this fall. I think he's a very bona fide Friday starter. You mm-hmm. know, everybody kind of knows that what's going to happen there. And I feel very confident in a win every Friday night with Hunter on the mound. So I think our staff is going to be the MVP of this season with, you know, hitters coming in for a close second. I think it's just going to be a really good season all the way around.
Well, good. Well, a lot of things to look forward to in the spring season. Will Furness with us. Like I said, first baseman, you know, just pure hitter. I'm excited to have him on this podcast, on the Judd U podcast presented by Riverland Roofing and Ole Miss Spirit. Appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'll be coming out with a new episode soon. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.